KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, it's partly sunny and 66 degrees in Atlantic. We look for isolated showers and thunderstorms to be ending this morning and fire up again this afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny today. We'll have a high near 80. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Well, firefighters from Atlantic, along with tanker support from Brayton, were able to quickly knock down a field fire Tuesday evening. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said the call about the fire southeast of the Interstate 80 Highway 71 interchange came in just after 5 p.m. from Delbert Westphalen, who was working the area with his combine.
He did his pass around the outside and came around and was on fire, so he got out. And it wasn't too bad. He said it was probably, maybe a 6-foot circle of fire when he came back around, but even when he dumped the two extinguishers on it, it couldn't stop it. Of course, the way the weather was, wasn't able to keep up with it, so it got out of control pretty quickly.
He said they received some assistance in keeping the flames from spreading, not only from the Brayton Fire Department, but from a local farmer.
We got out there and also flagged down a disc that just happened to be going by and had another one on call. Got it surrounded and got it knocked down pretty quickly.
He said the farmers need to have that disc equipment standing by in the event a field fire should occur, and it's wise to take precautions before they begin to harvest the crops.
We've been telling people if the farmers are out there, if they can have a disc sitting there, and once they go around the outside, go ahead and disc around it so that it can, if something would happen inside, maybe hold it within that field. It's anything helps, but it's very, very dry, and the fields are what's the worst thing right now. But as we go, the ditches continue to, the grasses that are there on the sides continue to die and dry up too.
About 4.5 acres were lost to the flames. McNeese said it appears a spark from the implement hitting a rock may have caused that fire.
There's nothing in the combine that showed anything and wasn't hot. What he thinks is that there's quite a bit of rocks and some cement that's in there because of what used to be there in the quarry. So it's possible that maybe one of the rollers or something hit some when he went around. Maybe it sparked it.
KJAN News Time is 8:05.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Authorities are crediting a federal DNA database for nabbing a Nebraska sex offender in a 10-year-old Iowa sexual assault case. Mark Sands, a registered sex offender from Omaha, pleaded guilty to third-degree kidnapping and third-degree sexual assault before his trial in Pottawatomie County was set to begin yesterday. He'd been charged with first- and second-degree kidnapping, burglary, sexual abuse, and 3 assault charges for a 2001 home invasion in which a Council Bluffs mother was raped and beaten and her 16-year-old disabled daughter tied up. Sands was sentenced Tuesday to 10 years in prison. The 51-year-old Sands was arrested last year after police said the National DNA database identified him as the man who raped the woman in October of 2001. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports Jeremy Joel Binns was arrested last night on 2 warrants, charging him with violation of his probation. The report didn't say where Binns was from. He was taken into custody without incident at around 8:10 p.m. at the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center. The Mills County Sheriff's Office said yesterday 4 people were arrested this past weekend. 43-year-old Jeffrey Bruce Kerrigan of Malvern was arrested Friday afternoon on warrants for failure to appear in Dominion, control of firearm, or offensive weapon by a felon, and on a possession of drug paraphernalia charge. Kerrigan's bond was set at $30,300. Also arrested last Friday in Mills County was 33-year-old James Leonard Burson of Council Bluffs. He was arrested in Cass County, Nebraska, and was being held in the Mills County Jail on $10,000 bond. A preliminary hearing in his case was set for September 17th. On Saturday, 27-year-old Brett Allen Coyle of Council Bluffs was arrested in Glenwood on a charge of public intoxication second offense. Coyle was being held in the Mills County Jail on $1,000 bond. His preliminary hearing was set for September 18th. That same day, 31-year-old Toby Lynn Merritt of Glenwood was arrested for violating a protective order. He was being held without bond in Mills County. Trial set for September 25th. Also in the news, the Page County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that two women from Red Oak had been injured during a rollover crash that occurred Monday evening near Shenandoah. Sheriff Lyle Palmer says 45-year-old Catherine Flick and a passenger in a 1996 Ford Explorer, driven by 19-year-old Jennifer Mulligan, suffered incapacitating injuries and was transported by LifeNet helicopter to an Omaha trauma center after being extricated from the vehicle by mechanical means. The crash happened at around 5:20 p.m. Monday. Palmer says that Mulligan and Flick were traveling south on Highway 59 when the SUV went off onto the shoulder of the road. Mulligan overcorrected, causing the vehicle to cross the highway and roll over before coming to rest on its wheels. Mulligan suffered non-incapacitating injuries and was transported by ambulance to the Shenandoah Hospital. Both women were wearing their seatbelts. The crash totaled the Explorer, and the sheriff's report didn't indicate if any citations were issued. Cass County Board of Supervisors will meet next hour here in Atlantic, and on their agenda is a secondary roads update, along with approval of the plans for a bridge replacement project on Lansing Road over the East Nishnabotna River. The Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet next hour as well in Greenfield. On their agenda is a phone update from John Hansen with Midwest Construction Consultants with regard to the Public Safety Center project and related budget discussion. The Adair County Board will also hear from County Attorney Mike Maines and County Engineer Nick Kaufman with regard to South Town Line Road and a new TIF area and project. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Obama says he's ordering increased security to protect diplomatic personnel around the world. This after the U.S. ambassador to Libya, Chris Stevens, and three members of his staff were killed last night at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, by protesters who were angry over anti-Muslim film. Stevens and three other Americans had gone to the U.S. consulate in Benghazi last night to evacuate the staff. The building had come under attack by mob guns and rocket-propelled grenades. The Israeli government is distancing itself from a filmmaker whose movie ridiculing the Prophet Muhammad sparked a deadly riot at the American consulate in Libya. But the Israelis say it will be vigilant at its diplomatic offices overseas. The movie, Innocence of Muslims, was produced by a California real estate developer who said he's both Israel and American, or Israeli and American. The film depicts Muhammad as a fraud, a womanizer, and a madman. The death toll continues to rise in Pakistan, where two factory fires have claimed hundreds of lives. Officials in the southern city of Karachi say so far they pulled 289 bodies out of a garment factory that caught fire last night. Another blaze at a shoe factory in the eastern city of Lahore killed 25 people. Investors are expecting the Federal Reserve to take a bold new step to try to invigorate the U.S. economy. Some say the Fed could unleash a third round of bond purchases meant to ease long-term interest rates and spur borrowing and spending. Others expect a more measured response. The Fed begins its two-day meeting today. And union leaders for Chicago's teachers are meeting this morning to review a new contract proposal from the school board that district negotiators say addresses all the issues still on the table. But teachers say they don't have great expectations that they'll soon reach an agreement. Meanwhile, the students are out of class for a third day today as their instructors walk the picket line. News time is 8:11.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in the funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Robert William Young, age 83, of Walnut, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Robert Young will be held this morning at 10:30 at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Sharon Brundage, age 63, of Irwin, died Friday at the Carroll Health Center. Funeral services for Sharon Brundage will be today at 1:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Coach Bob Doubt, age 74, of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Bob Doubt will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Loretta Comas, age 91, of Exira, died Saturday at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. A funeral service for Loretta Comas will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Coon Rapids. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira is in charge of the arrangements. Isla Maxine Rhodes, age 92, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Maxine Rhodes will be held tomorrow at 11:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Martha Louise Grover, age 97, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Martha Grover will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gerald Herrick, age 96, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Gerald Herrick will be held on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Donna Jean Brandis, age 82, of Corydon and formerly of Oakland, died Tuesday in Corydon. Funeral services for Donna Brandis will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Oakland Christian Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. And Arlene Hansen, age 84, formerly of Elkhorn, died August 13th at Mercy Hospice in Des Moines. A memorial service for Darlene Hansen will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverdale. McLaren Rest Haven Chapel and Mortuary in West Des Moines has the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.